Hello everyone, it's Steve here. Thank you very much for listening, subscribing, downloading and recommending this podcast. It's very kind of you and as always, I appreciate it very much. When I worked in the Japanese school, the courses at this time of year were edited versions of the usual courses. Well, the courses I taught anyway. These edited courses lasted between 2 to 4 weeks. The two courses I taught on were Basic Teaching English to Young Learners, that's TEYL, and English for Japanese Language Teaching, or English for Japanese Language Teachers. We called that second course EJLT, but I used to get told by different people that the final T was either for teaching or teachers. It did really depend on who I asked. I'll explain more about EJLT later. Throughout the year, I taught three courses of Teaching English to Young Learners, or TEYL. I was the director of studies, which also involved being the course director and head of English. I also taught IELTS from time to time. The usual TEYL courses and IELTS courses were about 3 months long. My students or trainees were Japanese people or Japanese teachers who would be teaching English to young learners in Japan, where English had become compulsory in primary schools. My first job at this school was a few days teaching on the basic TEYL course one August. I never met anyone English there, so I guess I might have been the only English teacher the students met. Or perhaps the other English teachers had gone elsewhere. I don't know the answer to that, even after all this time. I did originally apply to be director of studies at this school and reminded them of this near the end of the month after I had done my four days teaching. Fortunately, I did get appointed to the director of studies and was at the school for about 5 years. But that's another story. Meanwhile, back to the TEYL basic course. This first course I taught had four nice Japanese women as course participants. The numbers would change each year. Sometimes the number of participants or trainees would increase. Sometimes they would decrease. I'm not sure how they marketed the course. I was not really party to that particular part of the operation. Oh, I did forget to mention that after my first teaching assignment, the director of Japanese studies overheard that I could speak Danish. So she asked me to teach basic Danish using the direct method to a class of Japanese university students. This would be the unknown language component of their course. The second summer of teaching at this school, there were 6 students, again all women, on my basic TEYL course. One of them was a professor from a Japanese university. I knew this because the principal kept telling me how important it was that she enjoyed the course and found it valuable. So no pressure there then. To add to my stress, it was also my first British Council inspection as a director of studies at this school. So there was a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. Fortunately, my colleagues and those in authority were much more helpful and we were prepared for the inspection. The inspector was impressed with the number of improvements I'd made since being appointed. It was a much better experience than the nightmare inspection at my previous school, where certain members of staff seemed to be intent on sabotaging a good inspection report. I don't know why, as they would not have benefited from it. I think we had a different work ethos, and that's why I parted company with them. Going back to the TEYL basic course, all the students enjoyed it, luckily including the professor from the Japanese university. So the principal was very happy, and I received good feedback from everyone. However, as I said, sometimes the participant number would fluctuate. Quite a few times I had just one participant on the course, which makes pair or group activities difficult. I could be part of the pair or part of the group, but I think it's better if the students work with a non-native speaker. They practice with a non-native speaker rather than an English person. Because I find from teaching English over the past 20 years or so that my students are more likely to speak English to a non-native speaker than they are to an English person. It just seems that way. I don't know why. So, to overcome sometimes this, I might suggest a walk in a nearby park, and sort of a nature walk or a historic walk. I think I've spoken about this before. And I'd give the English names of any animals, birds or plants, etc. that we would see. And the students would record it in their vocabulary books. Sometimes, with just one student, the lesson might move away from the original aims, because the student would have language questions on issues not connected to the course. It might have been something they read in the newspaper, heard on the radio or saw on the TV. I didn't mind if it was just one student, because it didn't affect anybody else, and after all, they were paying for the course. I did sometimes try to import important parts of the course so they would complete it. Now, on to English for Japanese language teachers or teaching, EJLT. The purpose of this course was to help Japanese people who taught Japanese to English people. It was to help them use the right expressions using English language, using the phrases that English people would use. So the Japanese course wouldn't be taught completely in Japanese. They would use instructions and explanations in English, but they were teaching the course in English, although they were teaching Japanese. If you see what I mean, it is confusing. It took me a while to work it out as well. Anyway, I think this course lasted for about 4 weeks and ran at the same time as the TEYL basic course. The first year I was there as director of studies, I hired this nice American teacher from Tennessee. She had lived and worked in Japan, so spoke fluent Japanese. The second year, unfortunately, she wasn't available. So, we had to interview a number of bilingual speakers, but they didn't seem to have the linguistic ability to impress the principal. Time was running out, and we were nearing the start of the course. I restudied the EJLT course syllabus and saw that very little Japanese was used during the course. I suggested that as I was teacher training other Japanese people, I could teach on the EJLT course, provided someone taught the few lectures that were in the Japanese language. The principal thought about it for a while, then agreed. After all, it would save him quite a lot of money. The timetable was rearranged slightly, as we only had a certain number of rooms available to us on the premises that we hired for the school. This was a completely new and unusual course for me, so I was a little nervous about it at first. Luckily, I needn't have worried, My first five students were very friendly and very enthusiastic. The first lesson, we discussed what they would like from the course, what they would like, how they would like the course to benefit from them, how they would like to benefit from the course, rather, and what they would like to get from the course. In teachers' terms, we call this a needs analysis. Sometimes, or quite a lot of times, the students needed a little prompting here. This is generally because in their own educational or academic environment or background, they are not used to being asked what they would like to learn. It's generally programmed for them. Well, that's my guess anyway. In these EJLT lessons, we covered basic grammar, vocabulary and pronunciation. To break the ice at the beginning of the lesson, I would ask each student what they did after the previous lesson, the day before, for example. This helped encourage them to speak in front of others. It introduced new vocabulary, involving language, and some of their stories were quite humorous and entertaining. They did seem to look forward to that part of the lesson, which I was pleased about. I also introduced designing worksheets, lesson planning and teaching practice to this part of the course, which I don't think was part of the course beforehand. This group enjoyed the teaching practice and the other students and myself would play the part of students. In the first half of the lesson, we would have input sessions. After the break, we'd have the teaching practice using the techniques or phrases that had been learned previously. After each teaching practice, I encourage each student to give constructive feedback and then would give my own. If I said that part of a student's teaching practice wasn't as strong as it should be or was missing certain elements, I gave suggestions on how they could improve. I sometimes thought I might have been overly critical, but students' course feedback commented they appreciated my direct honesty and feedback, and it helped me see where to improve. Wow, that's a longer one than usual, isn't it? Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, downloading, subscribing, and recommending this podcast, if you do. Thank you very much, everyone, everywhere. I'll be back again soon. So until then, take care, look after yourselves, and stay safe and well. This is Steve signing off and saying bye-bye.